Let's turn to the book of Psalm 32, if you would. Psalm 32. Now, we have plenty of room in this facility. It's a lot different than last year. We have plenty of room to come and pray when the altar call is given. And any time throughout the message or from this point on or even now, if you felt like praying, you can find a place up here. And we want to encourage all the young people to come and pray and seek the Lord. How many knows you gain ground when you pray? Sometimes you don't feel like that you're gaining ground, but the very fact that you're moving toward God, whether you feel better about the situation or whether you find your solution or your answer, the very fact that you're praying and seeking God, you're gaining ground. Amen. Psalm 32. Beginning in verse number 1. There's 11 verses. I'll try to read them real quick here. Beginning in verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. I'd like for us to look at verse number 3. This is my text tonight that I'd like to preach from. If the Lord would help me. I want you to notice the first part of verse 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. When I kept silence. Verse 4, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. But listen to verse number 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess. I want to preach tonight on the comfort of confession. The comfort of confession. When I noticed in the text here in verse number 3, the psalmist David said, when I kept silence. Now, silence is not always a bad thing. That may be hard for the majority of you to understand. But as you get older, you're going to realize quickly that silence is not always a bad thing. There are times in our fast-paced lives when we all need silence. Have you ever felt out of breath with a pounding heart, running on the treadmill of time schedules, trying to meet the deadline of demands, and seems like we stay in high gear? Isn't that right? If it wasn't for Alka-Seltzer and Tylenol and Sleepy, some people would never have any silence at all. because of the time that we're living in and the fast pace of this society. No wonder our nervous systems are shot. From daylight till dark, it's noise. News, weather, music, iPods, CD players, headphones, radios, horns, voices, on-ramps, off-ramps, washing machines, vacuum cleaners. And again, this may not affect the majority of you, but kids! Traffic, suppers, luncheons, obligations, meetings, everything sometimes but silence. Come on now. I know you're saying, well, they got an old man to preach to us this year. But I'm telling you, there's sometimes that we need to understand, but silence is not always a bad thing. Be still. God commands us, be still and know. Sit in silence and learn. Be still and know that I am God. And how many knows that there's times when we get in that place of solitude and we get still. But sometimes that's when God speaks to us in a grand way and in a great way. There's times in our life when we have to learn to be still and sit and learn. God's still small voice probably won't always thunder or shout over all of the noise that we put in our life. There's a lot of distractions in life, a lot of distractions in the world. I read one time where one man said how that when he got up early in the morning to go to work and he began to shave, and while he looked at himself in the mirror, he didn't like what he saw. And he didn't like what he thought about himself, so he'd reach over and turn on the radio to get his mind off of himself. We don't like to get in silence sometimes because when it gets quiet. And when we sit before God, He begins to deal with us. And I'm telling you, there's times, my friend, amen, when silence brings us to a serene calm. And we've got to have silence. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 and verse number 7. It said that there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Now I want you to know that silence is an essential part of our growing deeper in God. One man put it like this. He said, we will not become men of God without the presence of solitude. Now I don't know how it is for some of you preacher brethren, but it seems like sometimes God has to chase me down. Come on now. I already missed the prayer here tonight. Brother Webb called me and he said, where are you at? I said, I'm coming around the bend. Exit 15, he said, well, we're having prayer. I said, well, pray for me. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. There's some times when we need to have this silence in our life because it brings about a serene calm that there's really nothing else in this world that can compensate for getting along with God. Amen. God seems like He has to chase us down. And somehow, and I know the young people are trying to, probably trying to figure out how this is going to fit into their lives. But somehow, I feel that we have to stop repeating this non-productive haste. Come on now. Somehow, we're going to have to learn how to be still and get with God. Amen. I believe that sometimes we dismiss silence as some kind of unwanted guest. And we don't want to get still. We don't want to be silent before God. But I'm telling you, it's in those times, amen, when we learn how to be still and find God, amen, that some of the most productive things can happen in our lives. Amen. Really, really, if we would talk about this meeting here, we've hurried to get here. But now that we're here, let's slip our shoes off. Praise God. Amen. Not only was that an act of reference or submission when God told Moses, slip your shoes off, you're on holy ground. Amen. Yes, he was being submissive and yes, he was being reverent to God. But it could have been that God would said, son, I don't want you to get in a hurry. How many knows that sometimes we're too rash and too hasty, amen, with the Spirit of God and the movement of the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you sometimes, my friend, amen, we have got to have silence in our lives. And I tell you, there's been days when I said, oh God, amen, I long for that solitude. I long, amen, for that silence. Amen, be still and know that I am God. And so I want you to understand, amen, that you've got to make it happen, my friend. And you that are involved in Bible school or you that are full-time students and you that are students and working jobs. Amen, sometimes I found out, amen, that if you're going to pray and get along with God, you're not going to find time to pray. Amen. Amen, but brother, you got to make it happen. Amen, you got to make it happen in your life.
life. But is there anybody in this house that realizes there are times, amen, when we got to get alone with God, and we got to get still with God, amen, and hear the voice of the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Silence can bring us to a serene calm that we can't find anywhere else in this world. And I don't want to dismiss silence when I know, amen, that it's God trying to calm me down. Amen. And it's God trying to, amen, steal my steps. I don't want to get hasty and rash with the voice of God and the Spirit of God. And so, I want us to understand in the beginning here tonight, amen, that silence is not always a bad thing. But we got to also understand that even though silence can bring us to a serene calm and get us to that place where God speaks to us and deals with us, we've also got to understand that silence can also bring us to a sorrowful condition. Did you notice the text? Amen. When the Bible said, David said, amen, when I kept silence or when I said nothing, it affected him. Come on now. Amen. He said he got to describing how that it was affecting his body. And he said, all the way to my bones, I feel something in my bones when I keep silence. Amen. Listen, my friend, the first thing here that I want us to realize, amen, is that when we are silent about sin, amen, it will always bring us into a sorrowful condition. Amen. Notice in the text, amen, that David shows us, amen, the sorrow that is brought about, amen, to the soul of a sinner, amen, when he has unconfessed sin and unrepented sin. Amen. David's grief, amen, for his failure and his folly and his sin, I believe it was bitter. Don't you? Amen. I believe when he thought about his sin, amen, he had that mark of a shaming sin upon him, and there was bitterness. Amen. It was a heaviness that David felt because of his sin. And no doubt the effects, amen, were visible upon his outer frame. Amen. And David said, amen, all the time that I'm silent, amen, my heart gets heavier. All the time that I say nothing, amen, about my sin, amen, all the time, amen, that I fail to confess and repent before God, he said, I feel it in my bones. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, my friend, amen, when you go, amen, without confessing your sin and your wrongdoing before God, hallelujah, it'll bring you into a sorrowful place.
Oh, God. If you could give me a little more monitor up here, I appreciate it, or wherever they are. When I kept silence, oh, God. David tells us that the time in his life that he is silent, there's a heaviness that overwhelms his heart, and he is more filled with grief. And I want to tell you tonight, young people, that when you are silent about sin, it will put us into a sorrowful condition. One man said it like this. He said, we will feel like a mountain stream that has no outlet, oh God. And our soul swells with the torrents of sorrow. And when we are silent about our sin, you know what happens? We all of a sudden begin to fashion excuses for our sin. Oh, come on now. I know this may not fit, amen, but I felt like in my heart, amen, that I needed to preach to us, amen, and help us to understand that, my friend, when there is sin in your life, oh, come on now, it may not be some big, black, ugly sin that everybody knows about. Oh, come on now, amen, but we've got to learn to come clean, amen, with God Almighty, amen. Why is the church world in the shape that she is in? I tell you why. Everybody wants to be hush mouth when it comes to sin. Amen. But God is requiring, amen, repentance. Hallelujah. Coming to an old fashioned altar. Getting ourselves out. Amen. Before the Lord. I come to tell you, you cannot keep silent about your sin. Help us, Holy Ghost. Oh, God. When we are silent about our sin, we somehow divert our thoughts away from our wrongdoing.
Yes, sir.
One of the hardest types of people to try to pastor is somebody that is silent about their sin. Come on now. One of the most detrimental things that we can do in our life is get to a place where we are silent. I know that sometimes, amen, we have preached living on the sanctified plane, and we preach living above sin so long until we've gotten to the place where we don't feel like we do it anymore.
Come on.
Y'all gonna help me here tonight? Come on now, I know we can live above sin. I know there is a power that helps us, amen, to live above sin. Come on now. Amen. But some of us are afraid to write it. Amen. In our diary. Amen. Where David said, my sin, amen, is ever before me. And I'm going to tell you why David, amen, turned out to be the man that was after God's own heart. Amen. David said, I can't keep silent about this. I'm not trying to kick it under the rug. I ain't trying to put it in the past. I'm not trying to overlook it. But I'm coming before God Almighty and I'm repenting. I come to tell you that you'll never have victory. Come on now. As long as you're silent and it's a cover up and you're a stinking hypocrite, you got to get before God and fall into an altar. Hallelujah. Amen. And pour your heart out before God. But I need the Lord to help me to preach tonight. Amen. I'll tell you where a lot of our problem is lying. Amen. With our young people. Come on now. And moms and dads, they have learned it from us. They've been watching the great cover-up for years. They've been watching the great pretender for years. Come on now. And we've showed them how to sin and get by. We've showed them how to run the preacher down and still get up on the platform. Come on now. Ah, hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you, one of the worst things that could ever happen in your life is when there's sin and you know it. Amen. But you're silent about it. Amen. David said, I feel it in my bones. Come on now. It's like a mountain stream that has no outlet. Our soul swells. Amen. With sorrow. Amen. That unconfessed sin, it'll be a festering sore that can only be lanced. Amen. By confession and repentance. You know what we need tonight? Hallelujah. We need somebody to call in an altar and say, God, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. We need a revival of repentance. We need an old-fashioned revival where we pray through. Hallelujah. Get down to business with God and stop silencing our sin. But Brother Gallagher, we started having one of them old-fashioned confession services. Somebody stood up over here on this side of the church, and they's a crying and they's a weeping, and they said, well, I just want everybody to know I love you, and if I've done anything to offend you, I want you to forgive me. There's a good spirit, man. People was a crying. Folks was a crying and a weeping. Somebody stood up over on this side and said, well, I love everybody. Turned around, faced the congregation. I love everybody. And I just want you to know that if I've offended you, I want you to forgive me. I want to go to heaven with everybody. Sweet spirit, I was sitting on the front row. I was crying. I was wiping tears. Everybody was in love with one another. Everybody was just crying and weeping. Two or three times that went on. And pretty soon, old Brother Coy Page, some of y'all might remember him from over around Morrow, Arkansas. He come down the center aisle holding that ear, saying, what is this if I? You know if you have or not. Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. Does anybody understand we're needing victories? Amen. But we'll never get to victory as long as we come in an altar and say, if I. Amen. You know if you have. Come on now. Amen. You've been singing in the choir. You've been marching up on a platform. Amen. It's unconfessed. You've been silent about it. You're not writing. You know it. But I'm saying tonight it's time that somebody come before God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to repent, young man. You need to repent, young lady. You need to come clean before God. Amen. Pour your soul out. There'll be no remedy. There'll be no compensation. Amen. There'll be no substitute for old-fashioned. Amen. Repentance. Anybody?
verses are nothing more than a result of silence. A lot of our church problems are nothing more than a result of somebody that will not confess. In that same service, there was an older lady. God loved her. And there was something that had happened several years ago in that church. I have to be careful, but this woman had had cancer. She had gone through some treatments. And so, there was hair loss. She came into the church one night. She was wearing a hat. There was an older brother there. An older brother. They were up in years, both of them. She walked into church. And instead of shaking her hand, he kind of just tugged, you know, just kind of playfully at a ribbon or whatever that was on her hat. That's all there was to it. Just kind of, you know, nothing off color. Come on now. Nothing immoral. I mean, just standing there, you know, the welcoming committee like we do in the foyer of our churches. She came in, said, "How you doing?" Just tugged on the ribbon of her hat. Maybe made a comment about her hat. And that probably wasn't wisdom. But over the years, in that same service, this brother stood up crying and he said, "I guess I know what this is all about." And he went back to that lady and he said, "So many X number of years ago, when you came in on that particular morning, and I said thus, and I done thus and thus." Come on now. He got down on his knees at her pew and said, "I want you to forgive me." She had fabricated this story in her mind because it had gone on and on all these years that when he tugged her hat, she fell down the stairs backwards and became indecent and an embarrasser. I mean, she fabricated. Come on now. Amen. All of these years, Brother Jerry, amen, the story got bigger and worse and worse. Come on now. Amen. And that man got down on his knees, got down on his hands and knees and said, "I'm sorry." Come on now. She said, "Well, I accept your apology, but I still don't forgive you." Come on now. Do you understand? Amen. That we always want to look at their sin and say they need to confess and come crawling back and make their sin right with us. Amen. And that is true. Come on now. Amen. But there are many times, amen, that they are screaming forgiveness and we're silent about our own sin and about our own wrongdoing. Come on now. And there ain't no wonder our marriages are in problems and in trouble because somebody, amen, is keeping silence. No wonder our churches are being divided and fellowships are not fellowshipping. Amen. Because somebody is keeping silence. I say we better pray through. I say we better find an altar. I say we better come before God and say, "I'm guilty. And I did it. I said it. Amen. But I'm coming before the throne of grace. And there is a consolation that comes in confession." When we keep silence, it brings us into a sorrowful condition. And that sorrow is not always a result of the sin. A lot of people committed the same sin and they got victory. Are y'all with me? A lot of young people made the same mistake you did and they got victory. A lot of young men had the same thought and followed up by the same action. A lot of young ladies have failed at temptation in the same area. And it's not always the sin itself that brings us into sorrow. It's when we fail to confess that sin and come clean before God. Have anybody shout amen? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You know tonight as well as I do that the soul, amen, amen, grows hungry just as well as the body. And there are certain moments and there are certain moods, amen, when my body craves food. Come on now. There's some days it don't matter. I can go several hours without eating as long as I got a Diet Coke or a skinny caffeine-free tall white chocolate mocha. Somebody shout amen. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. But there are other days when I'm a bottomless pit and that craving is there.
And from the time I wake up, it's a bagel and a fried egg and a piece of sausage and drive through McDonald's and seem like all day long. And so there are cravings of the body and there are cravings of the soul. And it's in those moods and in those moments. Oh, come on now. Amen. My body craves something. You know where I go? I go to the cupboard. But brother, there are times, brother Bailey, amen, I cannot find in the cupboard, amen, what my soul is needing. And instead of the cupboard, I must go to confession. And I must fall down, amen, before God Almighty. I'm telling you, there is a wealth of potential in these lives. If they'll learn right now, at a tender age, how to confess, amen, their sin before an Almighty God. Amen, don't hide it. I said don't hide it. I said don't hide it. And don't hypocrite. And sweep it under the rug. Because there is a comfort, amen, that comes to your soul through confession. Now, when you sin, I'm not saying you got to come to church and shout it from the rooftop. We had a man stand up in our church, Brother Shelton, one day, and he said, "Pray for me and my wife. We've been fighting all day long." Well, if you have, silence is not always bad. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Preaching a revival one time, a man came and got saved. He's a praying through. I mean, the church was excited. There was anticipation. His wife was sitting, had followed him up so far. He went onto the altar. She sat down on the front pew. And he was praying and he was confessing. He was confessing to extramarital affairs. He was confessing to drug addiction. He was confessing to pornography. He was confessing. And I'm not just talking about, "Oh, Lord, forgive me." You know, I'm talking about, he was saying, "God, I'm sorry for committing adultery." That wife, her eyes kept getting bigger and bigger. The longer he had confessed, the more I felt sorry for him and her. And I got down in his ear and I said, "Man, tell God, don't tell the whole church. Come on now." Amen. But one thing about it, Brother Jimmy John, amen, there is a comfort and a consolation that'll come to your soul. Amen. When you confess before God, I don't know how y'all feel. Amen. But I've been praying about our youth and I've been saying, "God, amen, when I do wrong, let me set an example before them. Let them see me broken. Let them see me contrite. I may be a little transparent sometime, but I'd rather have the truth. Hallelujah. I'd rather be right with God." And anybody said amen? And David said, "When I kept silence, amen, it done something to me." And I'm telling you, don't do it. Don't be silent about your sin. Amen. Confess before God. Romans 10:9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth." If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Is this applicable, amen, only to the sinner that comes in off the street and don't know anything? Well, sure it is. But is that the only place that it's applicable? Come on now. It's to you that know better. It's to you that slept on a Pentecostal pallet and teethed on the back of the pew and you're committing sin right now. Go back and do your first works over. Amen. Repent. If thou shalt confess. Amen. That's where we are, my friend. Come on now. That's why there's so much hypocrisy. Amen. That's why there's so many things going on. That's phony as a $3 bill. We're getting to a place in society where men don't want to come clean with God. Amen. They want to sin and get right back up in a pulpit. They want to sin and still be a leader. They're like Saul when he said, "I've sinned, yet honor me." There is no honor in sin. But when a man or a woman will come before God and confess, there is great honor, because the Bible said, "Thou shalt be saved." Hallelujah. Yo. I hope y'all's feeling this tonight. My God, we need some folks, amen, that'll confess. Hallelujah.
There is a consolation in confession. And I'm preaching tonight. Hasten to the mercy seat. I need to talk to my pastor. That's fine. I need to talk to my youth leader. That's fine. I need to talk to mom and dad. That could be even better. I need to talk to my friend. Come on now. Hallelujah. Amen. But there are times when we got to hasten to the mercy seat and unroll those volumes of iniquities before that all-seeing eye. And as he looks at all of the sin, amen, confess to Christ. And at that very moment, you'll find, amen, those divine tokens, amen, of forgiveness. Is there anybody in this house that's ever sinned? Is there anybody in this house that's ever been forgiven? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Does it bring comfort? Does it bring consolation? No wonder he ended up the chapter saying, amen, shout, amen, for joy. I got it under the blood. I've come clean. I've repented all. Hallelujah. And God Almighty has come down with mercy and grace and forgiveness. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. That's what every one of us need to do. Amen. Find that comfort. It can only come through old time confession. Silence. When we keep silence, it brings us into a sorrowful condition. And sometimes that condition is because of unconfessed sin. But sometimes people are keeping silent not because of sin that they've committed, but because of situations and settings that's going on in their life. And they sat tonight bound because of circumstances that were beyond their control. And things that happened and events that took place. Come on. And I'm telling you tonight, if you want healing, my friend, it doesn't just come to the man that confesses his sin. Amen. But it comes to the man, amen, that has such a confession about him. Yeah, come on now. In this sense, really. Amen. In this sense, when I talk about confession, amen, I'm not really talking about repentance as much as I'm talking about simply, amen, telling God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And there's some of you that are going to be continued to be terrorized, amen, by situations in your life. Amen. But you need to tell God about it tonight. Amen. That's all that needs to happen. Come on now. Amen. Don't go on being terrorized. Hallelujah. Amen. That silent mourner is the man that will be in greatest misery. Amen. But I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, I must tell Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. That situation that caused your heart to be scourged, that situation that caused indelible scenes of pain forever stamped in your mind, that situation that's wounded you and broken you and battered you, tell it to Jesus. Hey! Amen. Tell it to Jesus. Amen. There's a young lady or a young man, amen, that needs to come tonight. And just tell it to God. And tell it to the Lord. See if he don't comfort. See if he don't heal. Hallelujah. See if he don't love. See if he don't pour the oil and the wine. But one thing about it, you can't be silent. The sorrowful condition that you're in is not because of a committed sin.
Come on, brother.
But it's because of something that you're holding that you need to tell God.
Come on, preacher.
Because he is that great physician. And I'm telling you that there is a balm in Gilead.
Yeah, come on.
Hallelujah. David said, this moisture
I don't have it anymore. Amen. But it's turned to drought. No wonder you're so dry. Amen. And the devil jumped on your left shoulder because he never does anything right. And he says it's because of your sin. It's not because of your sin. It's because of the situation that you're in right now. It's because of the battle. It's because of the memory. Come on now. Amen. I believe that one thing the Apostle Paul battled. Amen. When he said that thorn. Amen. Was that miserable memory. Come on now. Amen. Of the slaughterings and the killings and the blasphemings. Amen. Situations. But you know what Paul said? He said, I did it in ignorance. And because I did it in ignorance, I told God about it. Amen. I'm one that has obtained mercy. Hallelujah. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody needs to come to an altar and tell it to God. You need to tell it to God. Don't take the hurt. Tell it to God. And don't be terrorized. Tell it to God. You've been victimized. And because you were a victim, you have become vulnerable to the lies of Satan. And you're carrying around blame that God never intended for you to carry. And you're not singing with us because there is no melody in your heart. And you're not shouting with us. Because it was all you could do to take a step to get to the house of God. And you're in a sorrowful condition tonight. And it's not because of your sin. It's because of your situation. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. But there's a verse in Psalm. And some of you Bible scholars, amen, could help me with it. And maybe I'm not applying it in the right way. Amen. But it said, beautiful for situation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on now. Amen. I don't know if it means that's the way the streets are laid out. And that's the way the gates are formed. Or that's the way the vaults, the walls are built. Amen. The way they're situated. But I'm saying tonight, whatever situation you're in, He's altogether lovely. And His mouth is most sweet. And He didn't come to condemn, but He came to save. Hallelujah. And He came to heal. And He went about seeking. Amen. To heal and save and do deliver. All you need to do is step out. Amen. And come to where the Lord is. And tell Him all about it. I said, tell Him all about it. Amen. Don't hide it. Amen. Confess it. Amen. Talk to Jesus. And everybody shout amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Job 24 said, the soul of the wounded cries out. But when you keep silent about it, it's going to affect you. I'm trying to help the young people here tonight. When you keep silent about it, it's going to affect you. One night a preacher had a visitor. The night was as black as ink. Rain was coming down. A knock on the door. The preacher's wife had gone to the door and tried to coax the young lady to come in. She said, I must visit with the minister. The wife came back and said, you must come. She won't come in. She's weeping uncontrollably. And she only calls for you. He goes to the front door. And after a little bit of counseling and talking, under the light of the lamp, finally he coaxed the young girl to come into the house and join him and his wife. And they went into the study. While they were sitting in the study, this young girl began to pour out her heart. She had fallen and stumbled in some areas that many of us had stumbled in. I won't go there tonight for sake of time. What she stumbled over doesn't really matter. But like Ralph Cox said, mark the spot where you fail and be sure you don't fall over that same spot again. Come on now. But as she opened up her heart, she began to tell some of the events and the sins that she had committed in her life. And she was weeping uncontrollably. The minister sat there with open heart, with an open ear, listened to the young lady as she wept and as she cried. He said, I really, amen, didn't know a whole lot what to say. But all of a sudden, he asked the lady the question, why did you come to me? And she replied these words, I felt that if I had kept it to myself long enough, and unless I had told somebody, I would lose my reason and die.
Yeah.
And she said, when I left the home of the preacher, went out of that study, she said, I felt coming from that preacher an affection that I needed. Lucy Snow was another young lady. She was miserable. She had heard the church bells ring. She entered into that old Catholic church hoping to find some kind of consolation for her soul. She noticed that when the service was over, she had a craving in her heart to make some kind of confession, to make some kind of repentance, and it overcame her. There was a pale, older lady kneeling beside her and told Lucy, go on down to the confessional booth. She said, with a mechanical obedience, I got up and I walked over to the confessional booth. The priest within never turned his eye to regard her, but only quietly inclined his ear to her lips, and she told him of the situation that she was in. He said to her, the priest said, I've never heard of such. I've never heard of such case, just quite like yours, and I'm asking you to return again at another time, and maybe I'll have some kind of counsel. Lucy Snow left the church that day and left the confessional booth that day and never returned. But she said, I did find a little bit of solace in my heart, just believing that somehow it was better to confess to somebody that seemed to have authority. And when you look at both of these stories, amen, in one, there is confession, and she says, I found affection. And in the other story, there's confession, and she said, it seemed that I found authority. But could I say tonight that there's sometimes when I don't just need affection and I don't just need authority, but I need affection and authority. And I come to tell you, the Bible said that we have not a high priest that could not be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Hallelujah. And so if you're here tonight and you need to be loved, amen, come and let Jesus love you. Hallelujah. If you come tonight with sin and you need to be forgiven, amen, come to the one that's got the authority to say, rise up and be healed. Hallelujah. Thy sins be forgiven. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody needs affection. Somebody needs authority. Where are you going to find it? It's all in Jesus. I said, it's all in Jesus. I said, it's all in Jesus. My sweet Jesus. It's all in Jesus. Give Him the praise. Is there anybody in this house that believes tonight? Amen. We could have a fruitful altar. That somebody could be comforted. Amen. By confession. I love you, brothers. I appreciate your affection. Brother Taylor, several years ago in Virginia, when you told about that Armenian earthquake, and behind the pulpit you had such authority and that deliverance of a testimony, I feel like I could go to any of these preachers. I could find affection. I could go to either Bible school. It seemed like there'd be an authority on Scripture. Come on now. I could go to many fellowships, and they would love my family and us and take us in. But brothers, you're limited, because there's some things I can't tell you that I can only tell Jesus. There's some scars I can't show you that I can only show Him. There's some words that I can't repeat to you that I can only repeat to Him. But I'm telling somebody in this house, there is both affection and authority. Amen. Y'all feel the Holy Ghost? Amen. We need a move of the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. That's your problem. You've been keeping silence. But David said, when I kept silence, amen, it done something to me. But he got down in verse number 5 and he said, I acknowledge my sin. And then he said, I will confess. And he closed out the psalm saying, shout for joy. Hallelujah. Shout for joy. Shout for joy. Amen. My friend, when you come and make that confession, you're going to find the comfort that you're needing. Let's stand all over the building. God bless you tonight. Sister Webster, would you come?
Hallelujah.
I don't always find it in a preacher, and I don't always find it in a priest. But in the Prince of Peace, I find authority to forgive sin. And I find there an affection that is stronger than death. And it reminds me of the text where Jesus washed the feet of those disciples, and the Bible said that He loved them unto the very end. And He knelt down in front of Judas Iscariot and washed the feet that would be soiled in betrayal. Judas didn't know, but that was the last touch. Are you hearing me? That was the last touch. And we draw truth from that scripture. Servitude and humility. Jesus set us an example. Servitude and humility. But I'm telling you, in that chapter in the book of John was not just an example of servitude and humility, but it was a story of Jesus' love going to the limit. Clovis Chapel, you've read it, said the greatest tragedy in the life of Judas Iscariot was not altogether in the fact of his betrayal. It was not altogether in the fact of that hideous kiss in the garden and the sin, but the greatest tragedy in the life of Judas Iscariot was that he failed to pick up the pieces of a broken, shattered life and go back to the Master. You know what that was? All he needed, Brother Aaron Brock, was confession. Young men on my left, you say, I'm afraid to step out. Don't keep silence, my friend. That's our problem. I said that is our problem. Confession. There's a comfort that only comes from confession. You may get comfort singing in the choir. You may get comfort teaching a class. You may get comfort going on the youth trip. But there's no comfort like confession. Coming clean before God. The Holy Ghost said, come tonight. Come tonight. Maybe it's not an unconfessed sin, but maybe it's a hurt because of a situation. Maybe you were wounded. Maybe there's something going on in your life right now. And all you need to do is come tell Jesus and let Him begin that healing process. You know what I say tonight? I say, let's let it rather be healed. I say, let's let it rather be healed. Can anybody shout amen? Let's let it rather be healed tonight. Amen. Heal the sin-sick soul. Amen. Heal that wounded life. Amen. That scourged heart tonight. Amen. Oh. Let's let the Lord help us. Amen. Come on, young folks. This is your night. Amen. This is your time to find the comfort that can only come in confession. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The consolation that can only come in confession. You don't have to tell me. Don't tell the preacher. Just tell Jesus. We're not asking for the details so we can put a horn to our lips and shout it from the roof. We're not wanting to put a bony finger in your face. We're not wanting to shame and expose anybody. Amen. We're just wanting you to have the comfort and consolation that can only come, amen, in confessing our fault to God.